ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
The Bible is the blueprint of believer.
The Bible is books.
Book of books, like that. Okay. And thank you.
The Bible is a guide on how to live your life.
The Bible is a guide on how to live. Thank you. Now, the Bible, there are so many things that we can talk about, but please, I will be happy if my brothers are sound. I'll be excited. Please, if you are sound. And it means learning does not finish. And I'm excited because he's been privileged to be part of this. Of course, there are so many things he's not part of. But this, I feel they are crucial. And I wanted him to have a taste of it. Now, the Bible is... there are two aspects of the Bible you must consider. You must consider the inspiration, the authority of it. The inspiration behind the scripture, the authority of the scripture. And there are three. And shall I say, the historical understanding or the background, the historical background of the Bible. The authority, the inspiration, the historical background of the Bible. Alright. Now, the word Bible is book of books from the word Biblios. The holy there, the holy Bible, makes it sacred. The same way you have holy Quran and holy whatever. So, Bible simply means book of books, Biblios. So that's why, what do you find in the Bible? You have it as a collection of books. So the word Bible is not an inspired word. It's not a, my Bible. No, Bible is just books of books. So what's Bible? A book that contains books. That's just Bible. That word holy means this book that contains books is sacred, is divine. That's just what it is. Okay? Now, there are people who have attacked the Bible. You can study that on your own. A lot of people have attacked the Bible. They've attacked the authority. They've attacked the inspiration. So when you attack the authority and the inspiration of Scripture, you are simply saying it's inadequate and it's not accurate. So if you now can say the Bible is not adequate and it's not accurate, then you are simply saying it can't be the rule of faith and the rule of belief. So as a missionary evangelist, you prepare for this kind of criticism. One of the strongest criticism of the scripture is textual criticism. Textual criticism is criticizing the texts. How authentic are they? And all of that. So, one of the things I want you to first understand is, because the Bible is a book of books, it can be criticized. The same way every other person can criticize any piece of literature. In fact, Bible is referred in some circles as a piece of literature. Okay? And like that. So, that is just the normal background. But what makes the Bible the rule of faith is the authority and the inspiration. Is the authority and the inspiration behind it. Now, may God not take me and you to the point where we don't believe the Bible is inspired. Some don't believe it. E.g. Muslims. Muslims believe that a part of scripture has been corrupted. And since they don't know the part, they nullify the entire book. Now, let's go on a little bit. from David Upton's statement. I will pick some random statement from different theologians, and I will be coming up with. Now, let me just share with you what R.C. Sproul said. The Word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart. R.C. Sproul is a notable man of God. The Word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart. But it cannot be in the heart without first being in the mind. I may set exam on that question. R.C. Sproul said, the Word of God can be in the mind without being in the heart. But it cannot be in the heart without first being in the mind. quite a statement. We'll deal with that later. R.C. Sproul. I mean, look for the full meaning of R and C, but R.C. Sproul. Now, let's look at this. Let me just read this for us. Now, look at these three great words that you need to understand about the Bible. Revelation, inspiration, and authority. These keywords are very, very important to you as a Bible student. Revelation, inspiration, and authority. Now, whenever you want to defend the uniqueness of the Bible, those are the three things you must take note of. In defense of scriptures, those three statements are important. Revelation, inspiration, and authority. Now, let me just quickly go by this, and then I will cross. The word revelation is derived from the Latin word that means unveiling. The word revelation is from the Latin word, Latin noun, which means unveiling. It means that God has taken the initiative to make himself known. The reasonableness of this concept should be plain, for whoever or whatever God may be is altogether beyond our knowledge. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? That's Job 11:7. Indeed not. Now, please take note of this. When you say revelation, it's from the word. So when you said revelation knowledge, that many people celebrate today and they say, I had a revelation. Revelation is the word unveil, to make open. And in defense of the scripture, what you are simply saying is that Bible is revelational. In the sense that God is unveiling himself. So how does God reveal himself? Through scriptures. That's what we're simply saying. That's why in defense of scriptures, this is very important. Now, it takes faith to accept this statement. Because if you see the Bible as a book of books, literal material, you will lose the power embedded in the word. And sometimes we need to understand the revelation, the inspiration, the authority of scriptures. We need to know. How come we say we have to place our faith in the Bible? And Islam says we cannot. Haiti says we cannot. Because they will bring you a lot of criticism. And we are going to do that today by the grace of God. Trusting God that he will help us. Please pay attention. Now, but the truth according to Job 11:7 is that can you understand all of God even by this book called Bible? Are you following? These are real questions. Read it for us. Job chapter 11 verse 7.
Come thou by searching, find out God. Come thou, find out God.
Can I have a simpler translation?
Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?
So, you see that question. So that tells you that even the Bible did not present to us all of what we should know of God. This is a guide unto the perfect time. Hope you know John said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. we will know things that we do not know now. Paul said, now we know in part. So Bible is a guard and a guide unto that which is perfect and that which is to come. Are we together now? Please take note of that. So all we needed to know on this side of eternity about God is what the Bible presents to us. You know, if you are reading your Bible, if you are very, if you are a student of the Bible, there are questions that you have to keep quiet. That the Bible refused to speak on that area. And like Charles Swindoll said, he is God, we are not. And Zach Punem said, leave mysteries to God. You remember? I think I'm correct. So Zach Punem, leave mysteries to God. So the things he has revealed are the things contained here for us in the Word of God. So revelation is the unveiling of God. That's very, very important. And there are two aspects of revelation. You have the general revelation and special revelation. What is the general revelation? The revelation of God in nature. God reveals himself in nature, in history, in all people, and in all people as made in his image. You know, this has to do with the intuitive knowledge of God's existence. You know, it's a long-standing truth. You know, there are some, even idol worshippers, they say God is a lady you marry. You know, are you following what I'm talking about? Do you know there is an intuitive knowledge in every religion that there is a God? Are you following me? Mm-hmm. In this side, they call him Eledumari. In other places, they have their idols, but they have a name. You know, Paul also was speaking. Where was it? Was it Athens or where? Where to the unknown God? So that's general knowledge. That everybody has this intuitive knowledge of God. Even without what? Scriptures. That's the point. There's a general revelation of God. And where did he put? So general revelation has to do with what? Intuitive knowledge and what he put in nature. By the time you look at sea, oceans, and all kinds of things, it brings into the consciousness of man that what? There's a creator. This is, science is trying to even destroy general knowledge. I mean, general revelation. Do you understand? Because when you have general revelation of God, it will draw you closer to the special revelation. And the special revelation of God has to do with the revelation that he revealed through Christ. General knowledge is open to all. Special revelation is open to those who receive by faith. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me just read this. The gracious loving heart of God intends the salvation of all people. By special revelation, God proposes to share this with mankind in various ways. Mankind will know nothing at all of God's messianic purposes in Christ, and God not reveal his heart and purposes throughout the scripture. Before the fall, this communion between the Creator and man was direct and uninterrupted. You know, before the fall. Right? With the earliest patriarchs such as Adam, Noah, others. God's revelation came by means of articulate language used in a supernatural way, thus directly spoken. At other times, his revelation came through various means, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham's name. So, we are saying that, how did God reveal Christ, which is the special revelation? How? He started from the Old Testament. So the special revelation of God did not just constitute in the New Testament writings. It has been from the Old Testament. God speaking through different ways, whether through an angel, through vision, to Abraham, to Noah, and all of that. Hope you know all of the scripture points to Christ. That's the goal of the scripture. So we are saying that apart from nature, this special revelation that talks about God's plan of salvation. So when we see him reveal himself to different people in the Old Testament, how he spoke to Abraham, how he spoke to Moses, all these particular ways of revealing himself to them, so that he could point to his salvation and consummated through Christ, is what we call special revelation. Is it clear?
Yes.
Let's run. Inspiration now. inspiration. Let me just run through that with us from what some of these theologians said. For the early church, two factors were significant in their total acceptance of the Old Testament as divinely inspired. You know, we raised that the early church, what scripture did they know? Old Testament. And there are some things I want you to please pay attention to because it will help us. One was the constant assertion throughout his pages that God spoke or God said or that. Now, what is the guide behind inspiration? Thus said the Lord. God said to. That's why it was accepted. Because it has in it, and the Lord said to, and the Lord said to, and the Lord said to. That's the authority behind that inspiration. Many Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah had been fulfilled in Jesus, and to Christians, it seemed clear that such prophecies must have been directly communicated by God himself. That's the first factor of behind the inspiration for the early church. The second factor was Jesus' attitude towards the scripture. He declared that the Old Testament cannot be broken. That's John 10:35. The scriptures cannot be broken. And when Jesus said the scriptures, what did he refer to?
Old Testament.
So you see that you can't be a preacher. Are you following breath? Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So you must have, there's a duty upon you now to know your Old Testament. Are you following me now? Because when Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken in John 10:35, Luke 16:7, he wasn't referring to any of these writings that were called New Testament writings. So as far as Jesus was concerned, what was the scripture to pay attention to? Old Testament. Jesus loved the Old Testament and lived out his essential message, demonstrating his acceptance of it as the Word of God. For the early church, his recognition of its inspiration validated its divine origin and verified its historical accuracy. Now that tells you that once Jesus could quote and refer to the Old Testament, it means the Old Testament is valid and is accurate. Are you following this now?
Yes.
Now, Christ's view of the Old Testament became the view expressed in the New Testament. Did you see this now? So people without understanding will just be talking and talking and they don't understand. Christ's view of the Old Testament is what was expressed in the New Testament, which is saturated with quotations from the Old Testament and allusions to it. Constant use of formulas such as the scripture says it is written. Who do you find that saying it is written? Where was it quoting from? The book of Deuteronomy, I think Deuteronomy or Exodus. It is written, God said, the Holy Spirit said, shows that in the New Testament, scripture is equated with the written word of God. Now, take note of this. Jesus alluded to it as the written word. That's what gives strong value to these writings. Because Jesus didn't say it is said. He said what? It is written. So, for you to be poor in what is written, your Christianity will have Caleb. You must know what is written. And to know what is written, you must read it. You must study it. So, how do you understand the New Testament writings properly? From the Old Testament. How do you understand the Old Testament properly? From how the apostles explained the Old Testament in the New Testament writings. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let's jump from there. There are a lot of things that you could read on and all of that. Let's look at the authority. In defense of scripture, what are three words that you must take note of? Revelation, inspiration, and authority. Alright? Now, what is inspiration? Before we go on that, what's inspiration? Inspiration is defined as the direct influence of God on the writers of the Bible, by which while they did not cease to be themselves, they were so moved, guarded and guided by the Holy Spirit, that their resulting production constitute the written word of God. I'm going to repeat that. Inspiration is defined as the direct influence of God on the writers of the Bible, by which, while they did not cease to be themselves, they were so moved, guarded and guided by the Holy Spirit, that their resulting productions constitute the written word of God. Alright, so a lot of evangelical Christians regard the Bible as absolutely trustworthy and wholly reliable. Why? Because of the divine inspiration. What makes you rely on the book is that God moved the writers. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. They were inspired. Alright? Now, we don't need too much on this, but what brought about the questioning of the authority of the Bible was civilization. Please take note of that. What brought about the questioning of the authority of the scripture? Hope you know, when you look at the revelation, and you accept the revelation, are you with me? And you accept the inspiration, then you will accept that the Bible is the authority over your life. Did you see the point of authority here? To accept the authority of scripture, you must accept these two. Inspiration, revelation. Because when something is inspired by God, and it's a revelation that unveils God, it becomes the authority and rule of life. What's authority? What will you call authority? It's final declaration, final verdict over a matter. It's a final verdict, final conclusion over any matter. He who has final, or whatever has final declaration or final verdict over any matter, is considered authority. So authority can be a person or a material. Hope you know the constitution becomes the authority that guides. Though a lot of people put it together, but it has now become the authority on the rule of life of any nation. But you know, there are some unjust nations. But the Bible, you can't treat the Bible like what Brother Fortunate wrote. You treat it as what God said. So it becomes an author. So the author is what determines the authority. The word author. Who authored it is the power behind it. So the author of the Bible is derived from the inspiration and revelation. So because the author is God, it becomes the authority. The Bible becomes the authority. Such that we don't see God, but we now see God in the written form. You want to know the mind of God, you should consume hours in looking at the scriptures. And you see how the book of Psalms spoke about the word of God, especially Psalm 119. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know, a lot of things. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By giving attention to thy word. Many of me, blessed is a man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and it eateth it when he did day and night, 1 to 5. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. Say, whatsoever he lays hand upon shall prosper. Especially David. David spoke so much about the word of God. And look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from my life. We have inferred that now to be scripture. But Bible was actually talking about the law that Moses wrote and gave him. That was so. Imagine that all that was given to Joshua for success was book. See, the anointing was located where? In the book. Power was located where? In the book. Thou shalt have good success. And that was all he was given. A book. Now, God values scriptures. And sometimes, the problem we began to have in the body of Christ is, we stopped the focus on the book and start focusing on feelings. But the totality of all God wants us to, if Jesus Christ could allude to what is written, you should not be greater than that. You should not do above that. Imagine the anointed one submitting himself to what? I have come in the volume of what was what? Written concerning me. Genuine encounter with scriptures and allowing scriptures to have its place in your life is increase in anointing. I can tell you boldly with all my mouth. The more the word prospers within you, the more you grow in what we call the anointing. Anointing is an empowerment and a grace to do. That's why Jesus said, if my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done. So prosperity of the word in your spirit is what imparts your generation. Very key. You don't joke with scriptures. You take it as... Now, why do you take scripture seriously? The authority. And the authority is that the author is God. All right. There are a lot of things about this, but civilization is the problem that questions the authority of scripture. Don't forget that. What is civilization? Can anybody help me?
Advancement. Civilization is advancement in the way things are being done or the way people see things.
Yeah, do I say, well, we call it the thinking pattern of people that now affect the way they run their lives, the economy, whatever. And if those things are done in a more better way, you say this is more civilized. I mean, when anything is done for the betterment of the society, the improvement of the society, you know, let's say you're a civil servant, somebody who serves the government for the sake, who serves the people through the government is a civil servant. You understand? He serves the people through the government. No, it's a civil servant. Now, civilization has to do with the people. When we do things that for our betterment, you see the way we build houses now, different from the way it was being built. You know, more civilization, look at the issue of technology and all that. But because, and civilization has to do with human thought, human reasoning. So as civilization got out of God, it began to question God and question the authority of God. In fact, civilization is now that you know good and evil, you now choose to do evil. You know, the issue of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the last one that has to do with civilization is what? Pride of life. Now we can go to the moon by ourselves. We can look at the earth from the earth and look at how the earth is behaving. I mean, great, great thoughts. Then now, you are talking about bird that is flying. We can fly now. And be in the air. Have you seen aeroplanes stop on air before? Can you imagine? All kinds of... For me, the greatest invention... I'm wrong, but... The greatest invention for me of mankind is aeroplane. For me. Something that can escape the earth. Ah, it's huge for me. It's a big invention. And be suspended. Now, when I now saw jet fighters that can roll like this. In the air. With human being in it and still stable. Dive like this and come back. Dive like... Oh, this thing is big for me. Every time I see plane, it's the best invention for me. Now, we are talking about jets that can cover thousands of miles in few minutes. And you will arrive. That's serious inventions, please. So, as... And returns now. There are jets that now goes to the moon and returns. So when you begin to see how you are doing this, you say, where is God? I mean, where is God? We can do this thing. They are now talking about cloning human beings. We are talking about transgender now. Where if you are a man and you don't want to be a man again, you can be a woman. Are you following me now? Just a minute, please. Can you just help pause this so that... Just a minute.
I hope we are getting blessed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, civilization is terrible. Because as people began to learn to do more things, imagine agriculture now. In the way you do agriculture, I hope you know it's different. People are producing tons of rice now. If you check some things on Facebook or whatever, you see the way people make metals, it's just fascinating. Fascinating. There are home cars now, home vehicles, where you can have a house. And yes, inside a car. I mean, inside the trailer. They call it trailer. If you see it, life. And that's why money can make you forget God. Because if you don't have a personal understanding of God, you know, that's why largely, you see that when people start having money, they backslide. That tells you that how did they know God? So it means they knew God based on need. That's what is drawing them to church. And it's a wrong aspect of the gospel. To draw people to church based on their need. Because once their need is met, They tell you, why else do I need God again? You understand? Yes, later. So, civilization, you know, is the one that began to bring authority crisis. Now, today, now, we have problem with parental authority. Hope you know many people are saying that you can't beat a child in some civilized nations. For me, it's not civilization, it's backwardness. Because whatever is against the scripture's instruction is not civilization. You know, a child can sue his parents now. So parental authority, marital authority. Hope you know, people don't accept that a man is the head of the house in some civilized country. And that's what the scripture said. And some people are not even accepting it in our today's nation. To say that you are the head, so I will not be under you, that I went to school, that I have my masters. We are co-equal. I don't like that head dimension. I'm not accepting. So you are in the home trying to, you know, don't offend your wife and all. Because if you do small, whatever, she will sue you. Imagine that a man can be in jail just because the wife sued. And in some nations, women are more powerful than men. Because civilization has incapacitated men. Because they know that man has capacity to maltreat. So they now empower the woman through the law. Political authority, yes. And many other things like that. Academic authority, even church. Hope you know some people are not talking about we should allow gays inside the church and that they can be married. There are some nations like that. I hope you know that. And so many other things. So civilization is backwardness, actually, when you put it side by side with the scripture. Now, the Lord is our strength. Let's move a little bit now to the canon of scriptures. Yes. The canon of scriptures. All right. Now, this statement, don't let it confuse you. After the 4th century AD, that's about, a century is 100 years. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
So 4th century AD is 400 years after the death of Jesus. The 4th century after Christ, I mean, the 4th century AD, the Christian church found itself with 66 books that constituted its scripture. 27 in the New Testament, 39 the Old Testament. So that tells you before that time, we could not really trace how many books of the Bible. Hope you know the way they were discovering those books too, were in different periods. Isaiah was found, chapter 1 to chapter, this was found, this chapter was not discovered. Later this was discovered. So that's why you talk about so many texts, the Masoteric text, the Dead Sea Scrolls. You'll be hearing some terms. Because those books did not come vroom at once. So, but by 400 years after Christ, we have what we call today's Bible. That's why it's called canon. Canon means standard. 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of New Testament. So the New Testament books is 29. It's 39. And the New Testament books is 20. Is what am I saying? 39 Old Testament and 27 New Testament. Alright? The criteria for selecting the books in the Jewish canon, which is the Old Testament, is not fully known than what we have shared. The Lord said, God said, a prophet speaking by the Lord and all. Okay? Alright? And then, the New Testament book, hope you know, some were rejected. And the way it was chosen is that the criteria for selecting New Testament books revolve around their apostolicity according to the early church writers. Like those of the Old Testament. These books were collected and preserved by local churches in the continuing process of their worship and need for authoritative guidance for Christian living. Now, the formation of the canon was a process. This Bible, the formation of it was a process. It was not an event. That means it did not take place. It was a process. This was accepted. They have to debate on this other book before it was accepted. Are you following? Mm-hmm. This is where Islam attacks. So what were the criteria? The early church fathers sat down. Revelation, inspiration. So any book of New Testament written by apostles or disciples of apostles or eyewitnesses of the apostolic times, accepted. But anyone outside that, rejected. So that's why it's called canon, standard. All right? There are so many things you can read up on that. And let me just look at the Old Testament canon. The canon generally refers to those books in the Jewish and Christian Bible considered to be scripture, therefore authoritative in matters of faith and doctrine. So, now, there is something that I want you to hear. The term canon was not used in either testament to refer to the Jewish scripture. The idea of limitation inherent in the word was not appropriate to the nature of religious authority in Jewish religion during the 1,000 years when the Old Testament were being written. Only the Torah was conceived as incapable of being added or taken from. That is Romans 4:2. Now, Jewish religion existed for a millennium. That's 1,000 years. The Jewish religion was active for 1,000 years from Moses to Malachi. 1,000. Hope you are taking it because when that questions come. Jewish religion existed for a millennium before we add Jesus Christ and all that. It was 1,000 years, a millennium. So, let me just read all this and enjoy what you are hearing. Without a closed canon, that means an exclusive list of authoritative books. Those that didn't happen in the Old Testament. There's no list and all of that. Never in their history did the people of the Old Testament have the entire 39 books of the Old Testament. They didn't also have it all together. Hope you know, this prophet was speaking at the time. This other one was speaking at the time. So, it's not as if there was a time like that. They just had everything, boom, from the beginning. No, it was also progressive. Are we together? Alright? And when their canon was closed, it's not known. That means when Genesis to Malachi became, bam, nobody knows that. But as the Lord was speaking to a prophet, it came together. Now, although some questions were being asked about religious authority by rabbis and all of that, these are theological whatever. We have our first list of 39 books produced by Melito of Sardis around 170. Year 170. Please take note of this. What was the first time you have the canon of these 39 books? It was in the year 170 by Melito of Sardis. That's the first person that listed them. Now, that list did not include any book written after Malachi. That list did not involve that. All right, there are so many things. Yes. Before, I mean, these are other additional information, but I think let's just run through it. It's important. Are you listening?
Yes,
it's important. The 39 books of our Old Testament were originally divided into only 24. According to the uniform testimony of early Hebrew tradition, this arrangement includes this: 5 books of the law, 8 prophets, 11 writings. 5 books of the law, 8 prophets, 11 writings. That is before the way they canon it. That's the way they canon it, but not now. Modern Hebrew Bibles reflect this tripartite arrangement used in the first 3 printed editions. The law contained the Pentateuch in our familiar order, Genesis to Revelation. That's the newer one now. Pentateuch, the word penta is 5. Genesis to Deuteronomy. The 8 prophets, they are what? Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophet. That's the newer ones you hear now. You have Pentateuch, major prophet, minor prophet. Some people are still arguing about that classification, but that's the present classification. The major prophet, what are the major prophets, in case I ask you? Joshua, Judges, Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You don't say 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, because there's no 2 Samuel. Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Minor prophet, there are 12. and they are considered as one book, and they are arranged in the same order that you have in the English Bible. So the 11 books of writings contains three poetry. So you have major prophet, minor prophet, you have poetry. What's poetry? Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. Yeah, poetry. And then Psalms, Proverbs, Jobs, and then you have Songs of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther, which were read at the important feasts and arranged in a chronological order of the observance. And three, historical. So what do we have? Pentateuch, major prophet, minor prophet, poetry, historical writings. Historical writings, which include Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles. That's about how the Old Testament is about. So, what is the language of the Old Testament writing? Hebrew. The language is what? Hebrew. And so, the Bible went through quite a lot of those adjustments, chapters, verses, and all of that. Now, the New Testament canon now. I've shared with you the authority was about the apostles. People who are disciples of the apostles. That's how they chose it. Now, what made some... Now, hear this. This is very interesting. Please hear this. The authority of the New Testament was inherent in the commission of the apostles, but was not accepted without question by all. Now, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 to 3. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 9, 1 to 3. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 to 3.
Am I not an apostle?
Okay.
Am I not free?
So that tells you that some people did not accept some of the writings of the apostles. What we are seeing here is Paul. Because they are doubting. He's saying, am I not an apostle? Because some are saying it's not part of the 12. So there was that argument in the early church that it's not part of the 12. His writings should not be accepted as what the New Testament church should follow. But he was making a defense for his apostleship here. What was the defense of his apostleship? Label it.
Am I not an apostle?
Yes.
Am I not free?
Yes.
Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?
You see?
Are not ye my work in the Lord?
So you see that apostleship deals with seeing Jesus. Now he said, when he said, am I not free? Can I have another translation? That am I not free? He's not a slave anyway. Right, I didn't say any of that. Okay, am I not free?
Have I not seen Jesus?
That's quite strong. Yes, are you not my works? So an apostle is not an inherited congregation. You know, inherited congregation. No. You produce that. You must produce the church. That's an apostle. You must produce believers that have been raised as disciples. That's a mark of an apostle. When you extend the frontiers of the church, not just that, you know, sometimes that's the funniest part. I held a meeting. Bro Fortunate and Bro Joseph gathered students for me. They gather students for me every year, and I preach, and I'm an apostle. No, those are not my works. Do you understand that? They are not my works. I'm not an apostle over them. No. And that's the problem. You organize a program. Things happen. These people are members of churches. You can't be an apostle over them. That's just transfer of membership. So apostleship is that these people don't know Jesus. I brought them into the faith. They became a body of believers in a territory. That's an apostle. Do you understand? Now, it's not somebody who is born again, joined my ministry. You are not an apostle over that. Apostle deals with new crocs of people who don't know Christ. You now establish them. They became a body of believers. You gave them elders. That's why I say, are ye not my works? Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, please study. It's a very powerful epistle. Yes, is that all?
Okay.
I know my works. Yes, Bro Gideon, you want to continue for us?
If I be not an apostle unto others.
Did you see that? So sometimes apostleship here, you can see it's directed towards others. No, towards a particular people. Mm-hmm. And what are the people? The people you raise in a territory where the church is not existing, little or no presence. If I'm not an apostle over to others who are questioning my following Christ, go on.
Yet doubtlessly.
Not an apostle to others, doubtless to you, yes?
I am to you.
Mm-hmm.
For the sin of my apostleship are ye in the Lord.
What's the seal of his apostleship?
This one.
You see, when you say you are an apostle. Read for us that translation. What verse, John, sir?
Message.
Okay, let's hear.
And don't tell me that I have no authority to write like this.
Uh-huh.
I am perfectly free to do this.
Okay.
Isn't that obvious?
Uh-huh.
Haven't I been given a job to do?
Okay.
Wasn't I commissioned to do this work in a face-to-face meeting with Jesus, our master?
Uh-huh.
Aren't you yourself proof of the good work that I have done for the master?
Uh-huh.
Even if no one else admits the authority of my commission,
okay. So the authority of my commission in there is talking about the apostleship. You see that? So if you look at it, what was the seal? He said the seal of my apostleship is who? Is you people. And until Christ be formed in you, I travail. So raising a congregation from the scratch, people who knew not the Lord, is the seal of apostleship, not a program where there is a move of the Holy Ghost. No. If Paul's apostleship was contended, if these our new apostles were in the early church, they will use cane to pursue them. So you are not an apostle without this proof. Someone said, apostle. I said, don't call me apostle. You are wrong. Don't say you are. It's as if you are. I will be committing sin to agree to that statement. If I'm an evangelist, it's not to go and preach and then get so saved. You say that apostleship, even senior, I got you saved and I raised you as a disciple. No, because apostleship deals with raise a body of believers in a territory where little or no presence. And you know, go and look at context of Corinthian church. These were fornicators. They were living a terrible. They don't know Jesus. So imagine that after all these mighty works were done, Paul is now saying, if to others they are doubting my apostleship, I know Jerusalem should not have problem. I mean, Jerusalem may have problem in my apostleship. Because I persecuted them. You people are, with all the things that have happened that I have done, and I told you I saw Jesus. What are they still doing, please? They still doubted his apostleship. Okay.
Some chief apostles.
Yeah.
That
he
did not accept him.
And see,
chief apostles.
It's a big issue. If we put hand inside the apostleship of Paul, it's a big contention in the early church.
Wow. Can we say Paul has seen Jesus before and he did not, maybe when he was talking that
he didn't document it and he himself never said it. And because he never said it, it means he didn't see him. Because by the time you look at it, Paul is really a late comer. He's really a late comer. So he could not have had an encounter with Jesus. You understand? But he never said, I saw him. If he did, he was quiet about it. But he talked about those who are following him. So probably in his period, he was hearing, but he has never had a personal encounter with Jesus. So that on the way to Damascus, he met him. And what was the proof? He said is the proof of his apostleship. I have seen Jesus and ye. Hope you know Barnabas, who is an apostle, he didn't talk about seeing Jesus. but he had proofs of works. Are you following me now? So understand that the chief apostles are the 12. They are the 12. So every other submit under them. That's why in the canon of Bible, Paul's epistle was not the last book of the Bible, even though he did great works. What sealed up the writings of the Bible? Who is John? A chief apostle who worked with. In fact, the last three books of the Bible is not the epistle of Paul. James, Peter, John. Do you see? Those are the three pillars. So understand that Paul is not chief apostle. He's not. He's submitted though. And they have to approve his apostleship. But even though the chief apostles gave him right hand of fellowship, many were still having problem with that his apostleship. Because the apostleship was not based on the commission, direct commissioning of Jesus. But Paul the Apostle is the template of a New Testament. Is the template of subsequent apostleship. He is the example. Hope you know none of us will fall inside the chief apostle again. He is the example. But look at his exemplary. I mean the exemplary life of Brother Paul. Encounter with Jesus, which can be whether in a vision or via the word of God. Two, a commissioning with proofs. What was the proof of an apostleship? Everywhere you get to, new congregation must rise. That's the seal of your apostleship. Not crusade, though. Not a new wine international meeting. Not encounters people where angels will appear. No, please. Not being able to teach God's word as a mini, as somebody is playing keyboard after you. And the miracles happen. No. Because Philip is an evangelist but not an apostle. And miracles follow his works. Are we following what we're talking about? Amen. Amen. Some people really need serious rebuking. Imagine if this great servant of Christ, apostle, was being argued against. So if these new apostles get to any of these early church meeting, and they call themselves apostles, they will just look at him and say, how? In fact, you will be in serious soup for if to even call yourself an apostle in the first place. You are insulting the church. That's what it means. Do you know that Brother Paul was writing with a great defense here? Can you feel the sternness in his voice? If to others, that's not a problem. But to you, are you not the seal? Hope you know he didn't point to the seal of the apostleship as the I saw Jesus. What did he call the seal of the apostleship? The lives. The congregation I raised in different places. You are one of them. At least if I'm having problem everywhere, should I have problem with you people? You know the most painful part is when your own is rejecting you. I just said, you don't understand. You're telling me now. If, for example, now, look at it now. I go outside. If somebody argues with me, I say, go get me to your problem, yourself. I am having it quiet. My brothers here who have seen my life and who know my integrity should not have problem. But if all of you are now saying, we don't accept that thing you are saying, sir, I will have a problem, bro. You will give me serious problem. God, what's happening to me? And it will give me, I will check and recheck my life. And if I check and recheck my life, and I found out that what I'm saying is correct, yet people I labored over are saying my messages is wrong. You know, I really need to have a serious conversation with you. That was what was. Go back to the origin. That was what Paul was having with the Corinthian church. So the Lord will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. It is well. Now, not all the books written by apostles and those closely associated with them were eventually included in the canon. All these books that we are seeing about. Now, look at this. Can you just check chapter 5, verse 9? Let me see. 1 Corinthians 5, 9. I want to know.
I wrote to you in my epistles not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator or covetous.
Now, what did you take note of there? He was referencing a former letter.
And this is First Corinthians.
You didn't get it. You didn't get it.
Yes, sir.
It means that letter of verse 9 is not in this Bible. Oh, you didn't get it.
Yes, sir.
That verse 9 that I wrote before. Read it again.
I wrote to you in my epistles. Not to keep company with sexual.
That place, where is that real one? Because what we are seeing now. Is this now I am writing? That's the one we are reading.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't get it.
But now.
But now.
I have written to you.
That one that is saying, but now. That's the letter we are saying. So the initial letter he wrote is not available in our canon. Are you following this now? The full letter of that verse 9 referencing is not available. Was not accepted. The clarification of what he meant is not what we are seeing now. So understand that Bible is a powerful book. So many books were rejected. Now, Paul's former letter to the Corinthians and his letter to the church of Laodicea. Check Colossians 4:16. Don't be scared of checking.
And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea.
Where is the epistle from Laodicea?
Colossians
4:16. Where is the epistle from our lady edition? Where is it? It's not in the canon.
Now.
You have Ephesians, you have Corinthians, you have Laodiceans.
Revelation 21.
It's his book of Revelation, we had that. Paul's, and if Paul will address, he will address Ephesians. He will address Corinthians. He will address them by their location. But Laodiceans, no.
Now, when the epistle is read among you, say that it is read also in the church of Laodicea.
What does that mean? Itimokosin, this one. Make sure you give it to them.
And that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea.
So where is that one?
Colossians.
So we are sure that this one written to Colossians, let Laodiceans read it. But the ones he wrote to Laodiceans is not here.
I heard it from somebody's mouth.
Okay.
It was preached naturally about the community. And I said, the Corinthians keep asking questions. He said, actually, some people documented that First Corinthians is 3. But one.
There's a book here. Help me look for it. Apostle Paul is there. The book you should read.
Apostle Paul.
Yes. Paul the Apostle. Please let me pause this so that I can quickly see it. There are books you have not, you will need to read. Hallelujah. Now, you find, I've studied it, you find out that the letter to Laodiceans is not in the canon. It's not identified. Now, some argue that the Corinthian letter is redacted into the canonical epistle, that means merged somehow. You understand? Hallelujah. Are you tired? Mm-hmm. And there's a man, one of these leaders of the church, Marcion. He thought that the Laodiceans were Ephesians. But that scripture is clear. You understand? Mm-hmm. So there is here and there, whatever.
Can that be true? Because John, in the book of John, written to the Laodicean church, Ephesian church.
Now, Polycarp, who is a major disciple of the apostles. Open up, Polycarp is the direct disciple of John the Beloved. Many of his statements, you must go and find out. You must go and read it too. If you are going to be in ministry, this extra study is important.
No,
brother. Get what can. Don't just raise question. What did we raise as a canonicity of the New Testament? Apostleship. So
Paul was questionable.
So in this, and Paul was questionable. I'm coming. We will raise questions. Please, we don't even go to Hebrew yet. What we are dealing with today is a Bible teacher must study. You study your Bible. You study the research of the Bible. So that when you want to teach, you will teach from the authority perspective. The Bible is the inspired word of God. It remains inspired. But want to see the arrangement is what we are dealing with. Canonicity. Now, let's go on. There is, let me just conclude on this. Writing to the Philippians in the mid-second century mentions a plurality of letters written by Paul to Philippi. Now, Polycarp's letter, Polycarp also wrote his own epistle. Yes. In fact, I came across, I think, first Polycarp, second Polycarp, I came across that. Hope you know it was the duty of, even this, hope you know, it was just a practice of the apostles to write to their people. They didn't see it as a inspired, they were not planning to make it Bible. Oh, are you following me? Yes. Now, let me give you a sound conclusion now. Because there are a lot to, that's why I say get this. You need to study because this will help you as a Bible teacher. Books like this. And there are many. If you search through that, you will see some salient books. In fact, there is Seeing Jesus from the Middle Eastern Eyes. Powerful on exposing Matthew to John. Powerful. Very powerful. I don't even want to go into that now. Those additional informations helps you to be a sound Bible teacher. These are annotated. Powerful. Are we following?
Yes, sir.
Please, so that we don't lead people into error. That's the reason. That's the burden behind study. So that somebody will not just wake up one day. I said, Paul, if it's a Paul, no, relax. Relax. Paul's apostleship was had to be accepted by the chief apostles. And God who saw his labor preserved the ones that were preserved. Understand the sovereignty of God. Before I reach the conclusion, let me just, because I want to get to a conclusion. That conclusion is very helpful. Now, please open Philippians 3:2. Let me see what that is about. Quickly, please. Who is helping me? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2.
Beware of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
For we are circumcision.
Okay.
We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit.
Philippians 3:2. Is that where it's reading?
Yes.
That's where it's reading. Okay. Alright. Can you check 3:2, 1 Corinthians 3:2?
Yes. I fed you with meat.
Okay.
And not with solid food.
Okay.
For until now.
Okay, I think it's referring to something. Now, Polycarp wrote letter also to the Philippians. Okay, sorry. What was referenced here is Polycarp's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 2. It's also a book. I have seen some of those epistles by Polycarp Polycarp is a major authority, so people will listen to him because he's the direct and he's the bishop of Smyrna. You know the Smyrna church in Revelation? He's their bishop.
Yes, and I saw something here.
Please.
That verse 1, it says, to write the same thing to you. That okay. He has already written one before to the Philippian church.
Oh, that's another window. Did you see that? You see that we have touched three scriptures now. You have discovered the third one for us. To write what?
The same thing to you.
Uh-huh.
To me. Indeed,
which church is that?
Philippian.
Ha. Did you see this now? We don't have first Philippians, second Philippians. Mm-hmm. So you see that, in fact, a lot of writings occurred. Maybe to even address the issue of two people fighting itself, maybe they wrote something on that. Are you with me why they had to settle for this? Mm-hmm. Maybe on just one question, or maybe tight safe. Or something else, I mean something. Maybe they just address that in just 4, 5, 10 lines. Writings were what? Available. But canon means, for example, we have a long canon concerning the Philippians. All these fewer ones, maybe to address little issues, were not accepted. Were not accepted does not mean the DD is not authoritative, but you know, it's like if minor issues. Are you following me? Were discarded. So that major issue that should be rule of the church should be what? Accepted. And church fathers said that it was a serious work. Now, they were spirit. They allowed the Lord. Not as if they just went by scholastic, whatever. What's the rule? Written by an apostle.
Inspiration, revelation.
And do you know that? Please don't be confused. New Testament writings were not taken as like that, the way they take Old Testament. Because are you saying that one letter was not accepted, this one was not accepted, this one was not accepted? They didn't see it the way Old Testament. They saw New Testament as the explanations pointing to the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus. So they were writings. And since they were written to new day believers in Christ, it should be accepted as part. To guide us. So that's why, what did you say, sir? I'm telling you, even Brother Paul, now, one of the most serious letters you should know offhand, each chapter is Book of Timothy. Because that was a personal documentation of his life to his son. Are you following me? What did he reference later? He talked about studying to see that Brother Paul is a student. He studies the Old Testament well. One. Two. You find that he alluded to the Old Testament, all scripture. So he himself was not writing to say, my book. Are you with me? They were letters to respond. Are you with me? So each time you want to teach from the New Testament, where are you studying what you are studying from? Old Testament. Now, your question now is, so are you saying New Testament is not divine? Who commissioned the apostles? Jesus. So, the author of the apostles is why we read their writings. Oh, do you understand this now?
Yeah.
Aha. Why do you think there are other, hope you know there are other apostles. Why was Polycarp's writings not accepted? Polycarp is a wonderful disciple of John, but none of his epistles are in the Bible. Are you seeing that they trace it to who? Directly commissioned by who? Jesus. Or written by the eye. That's the reason why we can accept Matthew. Okay, Matthew is an apostle. Mark is a disciple of. You understand? Then Luke is a disciple of. And those ones are just records. So, you know, it's like, give us an account of how the life of Jesus was. So that was accepted. But by the time they crossed from Matthew to Luke, John had to be accepted. Are you following now? That's who? An apostle. That's why Luke and John, they are authoritative in all of the Gospels. I mean, Matthew, Luke, John. But when you talk about academic, scholastic view, Luke. John Mark, Because he's also a follower of the disciples. It has, do you know many other epistles? I mean, gospel was rejected. Because even Brother Luke told us many people are writing. So already, don't let somebody come and confess and say, hey, we saw Barnabas. Book of Thomas. He said, Luke also said they were writings. If our unbeliever self wrote. It's a trend. Writing was a big trend. Now it's typing and texting. That time it was writing. Are we together? So when you come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the next thing you have is what? Acts of the Apostles. Open, no, that's practically an historical book also. You can't say any other thing that is an historical book, and in it, you saw the Holy Spirit and what he did with the apostles. So Acts of the Apostles remain a template for the church. If you want to know church planting, if you are, for example, if you are called to do church planting, where is your text of training? Acts of the Apostles. That's why we are saying anything we don't see in that book, we don't accept. Are you with me? So, what brings about correctness is refer people back to the Bible. Hope you know, church was not in the Old Testament. But what was the idea of church in the Old Testament too? They ate the Passover lamb in their houses. Hope you know that was what the New Testament also followed. They break bread where? So you see that whatever you even want to raise, it has a symbol and a shadow in the Old Testament. God who said it, do you know God intentionally didn't ask them to eat the Passover lamb together? Because God wanted everyone to be in their own. So that was the view of God. The way he established the Old Testament church was in homes. Their deliverance occurred where? Homes. Where did they practice their faith? Homes. That's what they brought into the New Testament. That's the rule. That's what God wanted to see. Are we together? Yes. Why did we accept the New Testament writers? The author. Are you following me now? Yes. The author behind them is Jesus. Now let's leave that. Are you learning?
Yes,
I will stop here. And when I did this, there's a book there, down there. It's called Christian Apologetics. Very powerful. Powerful. That was where I learned about Polycarp. It's down there. I would like to show you. But I want you to snap these books because they are necessary in your library. Please. If I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. You want people to grow. So when I see you want to teach forgiveness, you want to teach repentance, you want to teach freedom from sin, you want to teach eternal life, you just speak words in the New Testament. No, you have not taught eternal life, brother. You need to go back and reference what there's a book that one of the brothers in and please, I want you to please pray for me. There's a book that, because God has given us grace to talk about book of Genesis. So one of the brothers whom God helped through it said, I should write a book on Genesis. I think my wife also encouraged me, and the Lord began to speak to me that some of the things we needed to trust God that people, and we've been sharing that in the last Essay meeting too, God opened the eyes of people. People are not, so they now understand that, so this is God's intention. And the book by his grace, work on it next year, is called The Genesis in Genesis. That's the title of the book. And I trust God that I have to do a lot of research. You understand? I will not just wake up and it will not be correct. I have to read, I have to do research. So that when the body of Christ is reading, what is it? And I will reference all the servants of Christ, all these people. So that confusion about our faith. The Bible is a powerful book. So, you and I, what did you understand from this class? Not every book, even by Apostle Paul, is referencing. The Apostle Paul's apostleship was in serious question.
Stephen was called an apostle.
No. Don't quickly jump to that, because by the time you reference, it may be a disciple or disciple. There are a lot of church fathers and church people there. So you need to, when you see something like that, you go and read the explanation. Are you getting me now? So don't raise that question now, so that it doesn't affect our recording. So it is when you read, you will now understand, oh, why is this person called this and all of that. Hallelujah. So, let us please pay attention to study. Now, my conclusion on this, because the last part I wanted to go is the what we call the Bible is inerrant. That means it contains no error. Bro, if you can close that book. What is the deep? Now, please, this part is key, please. That's where we close today's teaching. And I think God, in His mercy, has allowed us to learn one or two things. Now, what's the authority? Three things in the verse of Scripture. What are they? Revelation, inspiration, and authority. So, who authored the New Testament writing? Jesus. Because it points to Him, and it is His apostles I wrote. Now, take note that book like the book of Hebrews, they are discussing who wrote it. No notable author was agreed upon. Paul, till now. But Paul is credited to it. Reason is because the style of writing. Imagine that there is a book that is debated in the Bible, book of Hebrews. They don't know the author. But that's... go and check the way Paul writes his epistles. And check the book of Hebrews. And the wisdom by which he explains the word is only credited to one person. Paul. But what's the beauty behind the New Testament? I'm telling you, the beauty is Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you look at the proof of his name, the miracles wrought at that time is still being wrought today. That's why you can't remove miracles from the preaching of the gospel. Forget it. And miracles in all forms, principally and the most important, transformation of hearts. If people are healed in their leg, but their heart is still whatever. No. Principally that. And the second, demonic deliverance. Deliverance from demons. Devils. Restoration of blind eyes. They are all part of it. Though. Those are the things that agrees to the author of the message. Hallelujah. And of course, we are not saying that you must be the one that produces all. But it must be a part of. That's why. Those of you that knows that God is giving you such outdoor apostolic ministry. Some of you are given apostolic ministry. You are going to break new frontiers. You can't separate your ministry from miracles. Now, how will you break new frontiers and raise up a new congregation? Some places need power dimension. Are you following? Hope you know it is the Lord that will prove that if he has called to be an apostle. Amen? Now, the inerrancy of the Bible is that the Bible has no error. Has the last part. Please, if somebody is doubting all these things, I don't say the apostle Paul is not, it was not written. Excuse me, do you think it's everything also that Jesus said and did that was written? Didn't John say it? So are you following now? Yes, sir. So there are some things Jesus did that we just don't hear. So just don't say, I should have been there. Mm-mm, it's not there. Just accept that it's not there. And what did John say? He said, if we were to write it. So please, this canonicity is what? Guide. Period. Are we together? Is what? Guide. Is a guide. A guide for our lives. A guide unto the truth.
A guide to a perfect time to come.
A perfect time to come. So imagine that they even gave you this little guide. You are now neglecting it. You are really lost. You are really lost. You want to preach a message, you will not allude to the Bible. You are wrong. Really, extraordinarily wrong. So let's conclude on this. The inerrancy of Scripture. Now, this part I will summarize and I will... The New Testament is written in Greek. What is called Koine Greek. That's the language. Old Testament, Hebrew. New Testament, Koine. K-O-I-N-E. That's the language. I think there is the real Greek and there's the... Like what you have... common language accepted. The Greek of that time is the one accepted. It's called Koine. Koine Greek. Now, yes, I need to reference this. The additional books of the Bible written after Malachi are called deuterocanonical books or apocrypha. You've heard about those apocrypha books now. Our own Old Testament is 39 books. Catholic own is 46 books. Old Testament is 46 books. Now, Good News has included it. Good News translation. I think included, if not all, or some. Tobit, Sirach, Maccabees, and all of that. And those are just writings, history of the Jews. The reason why it was not accepted, I've read part of Sirach, I've read Tobit, I've read Maccabees. It has no inspiration of God said. They were just literal books. In fact, they almost want to fix into the class of Esther. Because Esther has no God said. But because of the way God walked, that's why Esther, the book of Esther, was accepted. Are we together? Alright, so the inerrancy of the Bible. This man, Paul Jones, dealt with. I mean, each time I read Paul Jones, it's too high. But I think it's not a book. It's a reference. Now, the case of the inerrancy of Scripture. Now, I want you to understand this. That's an assignment. I'm to show in our exam tomorrow. Write out Scriptures that differ from each other in the New Testament. Yes, verses, scriptural verses that differ from each other in the New Testament. Now, let me say to you that the Bible does not, listen, please, accept this. Hallelujah. The Bible does not have error, but it has mistakes. Proven. That's why I say, go and find the scriptures in the New Testament that differs. You will never find the scripture in the New Testament that differs from the epistles. But you'll find it on the four accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's where you find it. Now, in the Old Testament, I think there are very few historical comparisons. You know, you'll find that there's some repetition of history. Samuel discussed here, Samuel discussed there, David there. You'll see it in the Old Testament writings. You understand? There are few places like that. But in the New Testament, there are places that differ. And I want you to search them out. You can use your phone, whatever. I don't want to give you the expo. But that means you are doing a serious study. Yes. Do that between there and tomorrow. At least, they may be up to 3-4, but I want you to come out with one. If at all you didn't come out with any, just come out with one. Now, please take note. That was the first thing I read. Not of the New Testament, but of the Old Testament. And I read in an Islamic material that says, look at your Bible. You say it's the word of God. And you see, this is the problem. The church says to us, he's the word of God. You can never find a mistake or error. He is perfect. That's the wrong message. So when they preach it like that, and somebody now find it, you know, it made some people to turn to Islam. The Bible's inspiration has no error. Revelation has no error. Writing has mistakes, not error. Hope you know it's a writing. If I tell you something, I hope you know by the time I ask you to say it to me back, if I whisper to boyfriend, by the time he comes back to me, there will be something almost, it will not change the message, but there will be some variety, maybe in or to, or with. The person I noticed that with, no, I've noticed that with quite some people, but I think I noticed that with Brefe one day. I shared something that happened. Brefe was sharing it in a message. I shared something, I think to all of us, and he was there. And I shared what happened in Kwara State. He was to preach a message and he wanted to use it to steer the people up. Boy, Brefe said it off. And he was saying it with passion. Now, I could not say, man of God, sorry, that was not what I said. I couldn't. Funny enough, I was far away listening to him. I said, this is not what I said. Now, he didn't lie. He was simply repeating what he had And the part of emphasis was the part that struck him based on his mindset and perspective. That's no error. Hope you know if somebody will write what I said and write what he said. If they have to document it too, they are different. But you will see the center message. That's how the Bible is. Mistakes in writing, not error. Error deals with doctrinal standpoint of scripture. For example, there's no scripture that says, this one said Jesus died, the other one said Jesus didn't die. That's error. But issues of number, seasons, time, there are mistakes. Are we building our life on mistake or soundness of thought? Where are we building our life on? Soundness on thought, not on mistakes of writings. Okay, for example, Bro Fortunate, what did you see outside? I saw a black goat. Bro, you first said, no, it's not really black. I think it's about brownish goat. Please, what did this really say outside? Goat. Are you following that? That the color selection may be based on the view and perspective of the people writing. That's why, amen, there's no problem with anyone that the Bible said, the Lord said. There's no problem with any of that in the Bible, in the entire scripture. But where do you have to talk about numbers? And that's why I love the word of God. God knows that human is frail, but he kept his inspiration within the frailty of man. What scripture supports that? The excellency of God's power is kept in earthen vessels. Hope you know earthen vessel is not perfect. But the excellency of power is what? It's kept there. That's what the Bible is about. Can you trust the Bible? Yes. Yeah, your yes is going down. Is it going down? Can you trust the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Yes. The revelation, the inspiration, and the author. Let's pray. Lord, give me wisdom in your word.
And Lord, don't make me.